Does anybody know what is going to happen exactly 27 days from now? 08-08-08. And what's special about that day? The Olympics begin on August 8th, 08, the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing. And the Chinese are expecting a record turnout as far as number of people who are going to be in Beijing for the Olympics. The latest number that I have is that the Chinese government has reserved 7 million tickets just for their own people so that they can be there to watch the Olympic Games. So 7 million Chinese are going to come for the Games. They're expecting over 500,000 people from other countries to come as spectators to the Olympic Games. They're planning on over 16,000 media or journalists to be there and over 11,000 athletes who are going to be participating. And this means that the organizers of the Olympics have a big problem on their hands. How do you accommodate 5 million people? How do you feed them? How do you provide lodging? How do you basically take care of 5 million people for 2 weeks? And the big question they're wrestling with is, how do we feed people and do it in a way that's safe? And this problem that they're wrestling with has been confounded by some rumors that have gone around about the safety of the food there in Beijing. There was one story that said that the vegetables that they're going to serve at the Olympics were fertilized with beer and soy milk. I have no idea why that's a problem, but that was one of the rumors. The vegetables have been fertilized with beer and soy milk. One of the other rumors going around is that they didn't have enough meat. And so the workers were chopping up cardboard and adding it to the food as kind of a meat substitute, you might say. You thought your soy meat tastes bad. Okay, but it turns out neither of those rumors were true. But it's created a sense of urgency on the part of the Chinese government. They're becoming very sensitive to how do we handle this many people, how do we feed them in a way that is safe and that meets the need. And so to try to take care of this problem, the Chinese government has established something called the Olympic Food Safety Command Center. Any food-related issues that come up are to be reported to this command center, and the command center will take care of it. Food poisoning, lack of food, anything like this, this command center is to take care of it. And it simply highlights just a human problem that any time you get lots and lots of people together for an extended period of time, people get hungry. And you have to take care of that need because it's a pretty pressing need. Whether it's the Olympics or whether it's the church potluck, when people are hungry, they need to be fed. And you've got to take care of that issue. And it's the way, that's just the way it is with people in general. It doesn't matter what the culture is. And in Jesus' day, he faced somewhat of a similar issue. As Jesus traveled around the countryside, his popularity among the people had grown to basically Olympic size proportions. A lot of people wanted to get close to Jesus. They wanted to be healed by him. They wanted to be taught by him. They wanted to be around him. And so people would go way out of their way to try to be close to Jesus. And there was one occasion where Jesus had been with a crowd of people, and he had been teaching them all day long, from morning until night. And it was getting late in the day, and the crowd that was assembled there was beginning to get hungry. So the issue on their hands is, what do we do with all these hungry people? Over 5,000 people, or men, not including women and children. What do we do with this big, hungry crowd? And so the disciples come to Jesus, and they suggest, Jesus, just send them away so they can go to some of the local villages and they can eat there. Made sense. That's a good solution to the problem. Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, well, why don't you guys give them something to eat? You know, you 12 guys feed the 5,000. And the disciples look at each other and they say, well, that's impossible. We don't have food for 5,000 people. All we have basically are 5 pieces of bread and 2 little fish. You know, that's just not going to go very far toward feeding this huge crowd. So Jesus says, well, bring them to me. And he wasn't talking about the crowd. He was talking about the 5 pieces of bread and the 2 little fish. He says, bring those to me. And Jesus begins breaking them. And as he breaks them, they keep multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And pretty soon, they have a lot of food. And so they start distributing the food. And eventually, all 5,000 people are fed, 5,000 men, as well as women and children. Pretty soon, everybody's full. And there's still food that Jesus has been multiplying. And when they count it up, they find that they have 12 baskets full of just extra food that's just been created basically out of these 5 pieces of bread and these 2 fish. Now, why all the leftovers? You know, did Jesus not have an idea of how much food it would take to feed all these people? You know, did he just kind of lose his mind and in the excitement of this great miracle and just, you know, I'm gonna do this and I don't, it doesn't matter. Well, everything that Jesus does is a teaching moment. There's always a purpose to what he's doing, and that is the case here with all this leftover food, this bread and fish that he has multiplied. And the thing that Jesus taught about more than anything else was the kingdom of God. What is the nature of the Heavenly Father and what is the nature of his kingdom? And one of the images of the kingdom of God that was well known in that day was the image of a banquet table where all the nations of the world would be gathered together at this banquet table. And at a banquet, there's always an abundance of food. One thing you don't want to do at a banquet is not have enough food to feed everybody. So when you talk about a banquet, we're talking about images of abundance of food where everyone can eat till they're fully satiated and there's still food left over. And so the feeding of the 5,000 with all this leftover food as well is really an announcement on Jesus' part without using any words that, folks, the kingdom of God, it's arrived, it's here, it's present, and it's present through me. It exists right now. Because all of you have been fed and there's still an abundance of food left over. Because that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. Everybody comes, everybody is filled, and there's still leftovers. Later in Jesus' ministry, when he was having the Last Supper with his disciples, he again referenced this kingdom of God image of the banquet. He's there eating with his disciples, and he's sharing the bread with them and the cup. And as he's speaking to them about the cup, he uses these words, Matthew 26, 29. He says, I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. It's a reference to that great banquet or that great feast that would be held someday where all the nations of the earth would be gathered together. Jesus would be at the head of the table, and he says, until that day when we're all gathered together at the feast, I won't drink wine until that day comes. And when that day comes, then I will drink with you again. And so when we take part in communion, we're really doing 2 things. One is we are remembering Jesus' death because he instructed us to do that. He says, when you drink this cup, remember my blood of the covenant. So it's an act of looking backward, of remembering his death. But it's also an act of looking forward to that great banquet when all the nations of the earth will be gathered and Jesus will sit at the head of the table. Now, in first century Jewish culture, eating a meal was an event. We tend to think of eating a meal as primarily about satisfying our hunger and getting energy. But for them, it was about more than that. A meal was about hospitality. It was about sharing. It was about bonding. It was about connecting. And so when you ate a meal with someone, you were bonding with them. You were connecting with them. You were deepening your relationship with them. And as we know from the Bible, Jesus went around eating with a lot of different people. He ate with everyone from the religious elite to the outcasts of society. And he did this for a reason, not just because he was hungry, but again, he was announcing that the kingdom of God is present. The kingdom of God has arrived, and everyone is welcome, and everyone who comes will be filled. Now, because Jesus was not a wealthy man, Jesus didn't own his own, what you might call, a dinner table. So anytime Jesus ate with someone, whether he was eating with the highest person in society or the lowest, Jesus always ate as a guest because he didn't have his own table at which he could host people. So Jesus was always a guest, except for one time. There was one time when Jesus hosted his own dinner. It was the time when he invited his disciples to go out and find a room where they could hold the final Passover meal together. And when they found the room that he had instructed them to find, he then hosted them at his own table. Jesus greeted them as the host. And Jesus is still hosting that meal today, 2,000 years later. See, every time we come to the communion table, we are coming to his table, where he is the host. And this table that he invites us to, it's no ordinary table, because we are no ordinary people, and this is no ordinary meal. It's a meal about communion, bonding, connection, sharing, and deepening of relationship. And so when Jesus invites us to his table, he says, when you drink of this cup, remember me. Remember my blood. Remember my hands that were nailed. Remember my side that was pierced with a sword. Remember my head that had a crown of thorns placed on it and that bled. And when you do that, redo it in remembrance of me. And he says, when you come to my table and when you eat, it's not just about not being hungry anymore, it's about me. So when you eat the bread, remember that it's my body that was broken for you, and do it in remembrance of me. And he also says, when you drink that cup, don't just remember that great banquet where I will eat and drink with you again in my Father's kingdom. And so now at this time, we are going to come to Jesus' table at his invitation. We're going to share in the communion dinner together in remembrance of his blood, remembrance of his body. So at this time, if the ushers would please stand. Jesus, we accept your invitation this morning to eat with you. And we thank you that we can come to your table. And we ask your blessing on these elements that we're going to partake. May they be more than just bread and juice, but may they be spiritual food for us, and may we be fully aware of what they represent in our lives. We pray this in your name. Amen. Reading from Matthew 26, verse 26. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we look forward to that day when we will drink this with you in your kingdom. And until that day, we're thankful that we can walk with you every day and that you've promised that you'll never leave us. We pray that this coming week, that would be our experience, that wherever we go, whatever we do, that it would be in harmony with you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.